Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the State Bank Financial Corporation results for the second quarter 2015 conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1, followed by the 4 on your telephone. If at any time during the conference you need to reach an operator, please press star 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, July 23rd, 2015. I would now like to turn the call over to Joe Evans, Chairman and CEO of State Bank Financial Corporation. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Tina. Good morning, and thank you for joining our call. With me this morning are our President, Tom Wiley, Chief Financial Officer, Sheila Ray, and Chief Credit Officer, David Black. After our prepared remarks, we'll, as we normally do, open the line for questions. Our second quarter earnings press release and slide presentation we'll reference on this call are available in the investor section of our website, statebt.com. As usual, I need to remind you that comments made on this call are subject to our cautionary note regarding forward-looking statements contained in the press release and on slide 2 of the earnings presentation. Now, turning to the second quarter of 2015 results on slide 3, obviously the 800-pound gorilla of the quarter was our agreement with the FDIC to terminate loss share in late May and the related noise that created. On the next slide, I'll speak more to early termination and why it's a good deal for us, but first, let me highlight the solid operating results we posted in the second quarter. Operating income for the second quarter was $7.7 million, or 20 cents per diluted share. Once again, we experienced strong organic loan growth, leading to record interest income on loans and investments, excluding accretion, which continues to be volatile on a quarter-to-quarter basis. Even with $9 million less accretion than we reported a year ago, total interest income in the quarter was higher than it was in the second quarter of 2014. I think this speaks volumes to the positive impact of our recent acquisitions as well as our continued strong organic growth. We saw another really good quarter from our key non-interest income initiatives, mortgage, SBA, and payroll. Mortgage income was up $800,000 in the quarter to $3.5 million. Mortgage production was $163 million compared to $118 million in the first quarter. Most encouraging, we're beginning to see significantly improved performance from our legacy State Bank mortgage bankers. While the legacy First Bank mortgage offices still make up the majority of our production, the State Bank mortgage bankers are responding very well to the new leadership and represent a tremendous growth opportunity. SBA income was up $257,000 to $1.4 million as SBA production increased to over $13.4 million in the second quarter, up from $8.5 million last quarter. We remain very optimistic about the SBA business as we have a strong pipeline in place and have recently added two new business development officers. As of May 31st, the SBA Georgia District Office ranked us fourth in the state for the number of 7A loans made during their fiscal year to date in Georgia, and we ranked second in the state for the number of 504 loans made in Georgia. Wells Fargo beat us by one loan. Payroll income, while down slightly from the first quarter due to seasonality, was up 16% compared to the second quarter of last year as we continue to grow this business in Atlanta, Middle Georgia, and Augusta. As to the seasonality, we separately bill our clients in the first quarter of every year for sending out W-2s, which always makes the first quarter revenue abnormally large. Overall, I'm very pleased with the progress and momentum in these initiatives. We also continue to see improvements in our funding mix as non-interest-bearing deposits now make up 28% of total deposits, as solid growth in our transaction account balances is driven by our success in integrating payroll, treasury services, and cash management capabilities. I consider our skills in this area one of our most significant competitive advantages. Overall, a very good quarter that produced solid operating results in the second quarter. Now, on slide four, I want to talk about the early termination of loss share. First of all, of the roughly $14.5 million of one-time pre-tax charge, just over $9 million of that was purely timing, as it was the accelerated write-off of part of the indemnification asset that was already scheduled to amortize over future quarters. We don't have to do anything to earn that back. The remainder of the charge, just over $5 million, was primarily what we paid the FDIC to buy out their interest in future recoveries from the roughly $1 billion of loans that's been charged off under loss share, and also settle any outstanding claims at the time of termination. This means that State Bank will now retain 100% of the future recoveries on the charged off loans, as opposed to just 5% or 20% depending on the charter, as the FDIC was entitled to either 80% or 95% of those recoveries as outlined in the terminated loss share agreements. We're very confident that there is sufficient recovery potential in these charged-off loans to make our payment to the FDIC a good investment. In addition to the savings that we'll experience from the elimination of future amortization and the expected benefit of the recoveries of the previously charged-off loans, early termination also allows us to meaningfully reduce operating expenses, with these savings becoming apparent in subsequent quarters. All told, we have a high level of confidence that these cumulative benefits will allow us to earn the charge back that we reported within the five quarters as we previously announced. It's important to remember that even though the loss share agreements have terminated, we will still see the benefit of the accretable discount, as we currently have $104 million remaining of accretable discount to be recognized as loan accretion income, and that compares to $110 million that we had at the end of the first quarter. In summary, very pleased to have closed the books on loss share, pleased with the operating results of the quarter, and feel really good about the momentum that we have going forward. With that, now turn the presentation over to Tom Wiley to discuss how the integration of First Bank is going, as well as to comment on our solid loan and core funding growth for the quarter. Tom?
Thank you, Joe. I'll start on slide five with an update on the First Bank integration that is actually happening this weekend. We're scheduled for the conversion of First Bank into State Bank. A lot of energy and prudent planning has gone into this significant project that involves collapsing their charter and their systems into ours, and I feel really good about the process thus far. I want to thank all of those on the conversion teams who continue to work long and hard for a common purpose, to make certain that our newest State Bank clients have a smooth transition. Earlier this month, we began notifying First Bank customers, as well as the public, that First Bank will change its name to State Bank. Billboards, advertisements, and radio announcements in Augusta have informed the broader community, explaining that while the name is changing, the people and the values have not. While the conversion will be completed this weekend, we anticipate full integration will be complete in the fourth quarter of 2015. Through the leadership of Reamer Branson and his talented team, we have been able to target and retain key employees from First Bank, and we have received very positive feedback from the Augusta community. More importantly, the Augusta team continues to operate at a high level, posting strong results for the first half of 2015. We feel just as good and are just as excited about this acquisition as the day we announced it, if not more so. Now, turning to slide six, we provide a roll forward of our total loan portfolio, which shows organic loan growth of $91 million, or 6% the second quarter. Including the offset of nearly $49 million in paydowns and runoff of the purchase portfolios, total gross loans increased $42 million in the second quarter and increased $600 million year over year. On this slide, you will also notice that we have recorded originations of roughly $350 million in the second quarter, which was $50 million higher than the first quarter. However, paydowns increased significantly and were over $80 million higher than the first quarter, totaling nearly $260 million in the second quarter, including $21 million in paydowns on the last day of the quarter. As we have said previously, the level of paydowns as the portfolio matures is what primarily drives the net growth numbers, but pipelines remain solid for the second half of the year. Moving to deposit funding on slide 7, we continue to experience solid growth in average transaction deposit accounts, which increased over $105 million in the second quarter. Average non-interest-bearing demand deposits increased over $90 million in the quarter, the 13th consecutive quarterly increase. Non-interest-bearing deposits now make up a record high 28% of total deposits at the end of the second quarter. And our cost of funds continues to stay low at just 29 basis points, a 6 basis point improvement from the previous year. With that, I will now turn the presentation over to Sheila to discuss our financial results and efficiency initiatives.
Thank you, Tom. Turning to slide 8 of the presentation, I would like to turn your focus to the company's strong revenue trend line. Total interest income on loans and invested funds was $27.1 million, which is up from $25 million in the previous quarter. Total interest income on loans and invested funds, excluding accretion, increased $9.2 million, or 52% from the second quarter of 2014. This is critically important as we all recognize we must replace the runoff in accretion income with traditional interest income over the next few quarters. Total net interest income, including accretion, was $382,000 higher than a year ago, as increases in interest income more than offset the $8.8 million decline in accretion income over the same period. The increase in interest income reflects the effect of our two recent bank deals combined with our strong organic loan growth. Accretion income declined $7.7 million from the first quarter of this year, due primarily to gains from early loan payoffs and a loan pool closeout in the first quarter, which made that quarter kind of high, if you recall. Last quarter, we discussed the redeployment of cash and equivalents into higher-yielding investments as we sought to improve our margin by closer management of the balance sheet. This quarter, I think we have an even better result as cash and equivalents declined again, funding a small increase in average investments, but mostly funding growth in loans and loans held for sale. This shift, which contributed approximately 23 basis points to the margin excluding accretion from PCI loans, is exemplary of the opportunity that we have to improve our performance as our loan book grows and we shift assets from lower-yielding investments to loans. Next, non-interest income, as Joe mentioned, continues to show strong growth for us. Specifically, within the mortgage, SBA, and payroll income initiatives that we've targeted for growth. Non-interest income, excluding the indemnification asset amortization, was $9.3 million in the second quarter, an increase of nearly $6 million from the second quarter of 2014, but down slightly compared to the first quarter of 2015, which included $2 million in prepayment fees and $380,000 in security gains. Our revenue contribution from mortgage, SBA, and payroll income increased $855,000, or 17% from the previous quarter, and $4.8 million from the second quarter of 2014. Now, I want to address expenses and efficiency, so if you'll move with me to slide 9, you'll see that our total non-interest expense for the second quarter was $31.4 million, with the increase from the prior quarter primarily due to higher salaries and benefit costs resulting from higher mortgage commissions and severance paid in the quarter, as well as higher merger-related expenses. we recorded approximately $443,000 in severance expense and $876,000 in merger-related expenses in the second quarter. Our non-interest income key initiatives can result in higher gross expense rates in order to produce higher non-interest income. Therefore, our graph on slide 9 addresses our net expense as a percentage of assets. This graph, I think, adds some context to some of our expense carry. That said, however, we are focusing on achieving the expense reduction goals expected with the consolidation of First Bank and early termination of loss share. As Tom mentioned, the First Bank conversion is scheduled for this weekend, with full integration expected to be complete in the fourth quarter of this year. Full recognition of expense savings related to this acquisition has been delayed somewhat by the decision to delay charter consolidation. However, as noted previously, we strongly believe that our more measured approach to integration has retained customer loyalty and resulted in better-than-expected performance from our First Bank team. Full recognition of the First Bank merger initiative should be realized by the end of the fourth quarter. Additionally, with termination of loss share in late May, we were able to immediately eliminate personnel in our Special Assets Division Finance Department, which consisted of 9 employees at the time. 3 of those 9 have moved to other open positions at the bank for a net of 6 personnel reductions in the quarter. Also, the workout team in Special Assets is down to just 10 employees from 22 at the beginning of the year, and a high of roughly 60 employees if you look back at its peak just a couple of years ago. Additionally, we consolidated 3 retail branch offices in Middle Georgia during the quarter. Cumulatively, these actions, excluding the efficiency yet to be obtained from First Bank integration, lead to an annualized personnel savings of $2.2 million that will be recognized in future periods. Further expense and efficiency initiatives are under review that we believe will significantly lower our expense run rate going forward as we examine systems and processes relating to our loss share legacy. This concludes my remarks, and I will now turn the discussion over to David.
Thank you, Sheila, and good morning, everyone. I will pick up on slide 10 of the presentation and reference the asset quality metrics on table 7 of the press release. This table now provides some additional detail on our purchased assets, given the termination of loss share coverage on a portion of these loans in the second quarter. With respect to organic loans, this portfolio continues to perform very well. Non-performing organic loans were $4.6 million, representing only 31 basis points of total organic loans, and organic past due loans remain extremely low at just 8 basis points. Organic net charge-offs for the quarter were de minimis at just 1 basis point of average loans, and the organic allowance as a percentage of organic loans was 1.29% at the end of the second quarter, exceeding organic NPAs by over 4 times. The fundamental economic trends in Atlanta, Augusta, Macon, and Warner Robins have continued to demonstrate positive momentum, which is reflected both in our organic loan growth and credit metrics. Additionally, the purchased credit impaired assets from Bank of Atlanta and First Bank acquisitions have maintained solid performance, with past dues of 49 basis points and annualized net charge-offs of just 4 basis points in the quarter. Transitioning to the purchased credit impaired portfolio, we had $177 million of PCI loans remaining at the end of the second quarter. Of note, as of June 30, only 47% or $84 million of these PCI loans would have been covered under loss share agreements had we not terminated these agreements earlier. Of the amount that would have been covered, approximately one-third were non-single-family assets that would have had loss share expiring beginning next quarter through the end of 2017. We have worked these assets acquired from failed banks for a minimum of 3.5 years, and in some cases 6 years, and we feel very comfortable with our recorded investment on these assets. As of June 30, the $177 million recorded investment of PCI loans is at a 34% discount to the $267 million unpaid principal balance and a 46% discount to the contractual legal balance. Of these loans, $154 million, or roughly 87% of the $177 million PCI balance, are currently paying as agreed. While the PCI exposure is becoming less material to our overall balance sheet,
We did want to make everyone aware that we could continue to see some volatility from impairment on individual PCI loans in any given quarter. We've discussed this timing mismatch many times, as impairment is recognized immediately, while improvements in cash flow estimates are primarily recognized through accretion over the life of the loan. And without loss share, the impact of any impairment will no longer be partially offset by increases in the indemnification asset. Overall, the performance of the PCI portfolio continues to exceed expectations. We are well positioned to prudently manage these assets in the absence of loss share, and we believe this portfolio will continue to have a meaningful positive impact on future earnings. I'll now turn the discussion back over to Joe to wrap up.
Okay. David, Sheila, Tom, thank you all for the added color. And operator, you can now open the line for questions.
My pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, via the phone lines, if you would like to register a question or comment, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before entering your request. One moment, please, for our first question. Our first question comes from Kevin Fitzsimmons of Hovde. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, Kevin.
Joe, you know, as it's not unusual to have some swings in accretion income, and we definitely had that this quarter. So linked quarter noise from that is not new, but it was still pretty sizable, and I just was hoping you might address how to think of it going forward. I know it's always a very tough thing to forecast on a quarterly basis, but, you know, down from 16 and change last quarter to now 8 million and change, are we at kind of a new level, or should we be thinking of it that the 104 million just, you know, maybe that comes in over 8 or 9 quarters and think of that as kind of a base rate? How would you guide us to think of that on a quarterly basis? Thanks.
I'll let Sheila take that one.
Okay. So if you look at what happened from quarter to quarter, basically we had a pool closeout in Q1, and that pool closeout, and we talked about this last quarter, contributed about $2.6 million. This time we also had a pool closeout that contributed $34,000. So, you know, you got a pretty big swing right there. The next thing that happened is that we had some early payoffs that were recoveries that kind of flowed in through the accretion income, and that resulted in about $3.8 million last quarter. $2 million of that actually was from the Eastside portfolio, and we talked about that last quarter. So you had some unusual things there. So then you start, I guess, to your next point, which is what happens to the run rate. The base kind of run rate declined $1.3 million. So that $1.3 million does represent something that this was kind of a steady decline, that the leveling off and kind of the soft landing we've talked about through the years here. The $104 million is more likely to be recognized over 6 to 8 quarters, with it possibly moving up because of early payoffs, than it is to extend. Now, it is possible it could extend, but we think that's kind of unlikely. So that I hope kind of adds some color there. So I think in the past, Kevin, we've tended to say that you can have positive volatility from pool closeouts. Well, in the quarter you don't have any, then it kind of seems negative. And I think that's what happened this time. The pool that did close out that gave us a pretty good return last quarter was expected to close. And in fact, in our projections, we had thought it would close this quarter, and it closed a little bit early. So that goes to the unpredictability you talked about.
And when you see this, the what you're referring to, that timeline could shorten, we could get some early payoffs. Do you all view that as on a net basis, a good thing or a bad thing? And what I mean by that is, you know, it'd be good for the short term if it comes in, but does that create a more urgent situation to replace it if it starts leaving you faster, and therefore it becomes more of a situation where you don't quite have as long of an air cover as you might have thought previously?
We don't think it's going to accelerate so rapidly that it causes us concern. We think cash today is always better than cash tomorrow. So I think we'll take it as soon as it comes in, and we believe that the plans we have in the organic bank and the growth and the progress we're making there is replacing the accretion income loss. So so we're happy to take the payoffs as they come in.
Okay, and then one quick follow-up. What's left, I guess, of that amortization, that IA amortization line, do we expect just a small amount to continue to be there to be a drag in future quarters?
No, we completely wrote that off. That's gone.
So that'll be totally zero. Okay.
Yep, totally zero. And that goes back to the point that Joe made when he was talking about the fact that a little over $9 million of that was scheduled amortization. All that goes away, so that's an immediate pickup to earnings.
So what was the $492K, is that just in place before the loss share was terminated?
It is.
This quarter? Okay.
We have scheduled amortization that comes in every month, and that's just what had flown through the income statement prior to the early termination.
Got it. Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Christopher Marinek of FIG Partners. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. Sheila or Joe or whomever, I was just curious about your kind of visibility on paydowns in future quarters. So just was looking at the tick up this quarter and just curious if you feel that can reverse or if you had any, sense of that one way or the other.
Yeah, I'll take that, Chris. This is Tom. First of all, while we had greater paydowns in the second quarter than the first quarter, we also had greater originations, and our pipelines continue to be robust. Paydowns are also a good thing. It's a nature, particularly in our CRE book. That's what we like to see. It's transactional. So it's hard to predict when projects close out and we get paid off and it goes into a longer-term capital market structure. Feel like with our pipelines, we'll be able to outpace that and continue our strong organic growth.
Yeah, Coach, I remember we mentioned at the end of the first quarter that the net increase in outstandings was greatly helped because we had abnormally low paydowns in the first quarter. These things work, that they average themselves out over time. We always have a pickup in paydowns at the end of the fourth quarter as folks are trying to make tax deadlines. But what's going on right now, if you average it out quarter to quarter, is just a function of a good performing real estate portfolio.
Great. And then I guess a follow-up question for Sheila on the expense side. I just want to verify the personnel costs that you talked about in the slide presentation, none of that was reflected in the second quarter. That's all coming kind of Q3 and beyond.
That's right. The $2.2 million we referenced in the slide presentation is related to actions we took in the second quarter, but it wasn't recognized in the second quarter. It will be in our benefit starting this quarter. And that does not include any of the savings to be realized from First Bank.
Okay. And then with the conversion coming up real soon in Augusta, should the rest of those cost saves kind of be embedded as this quarter closes by the end of September, or will you have more savings coming in Q4?
So in Q4, we believe the expense run rate falls, and you're looking at an annualized savings rate of about $2.4 million kind of quickly after that, and we think there'll be more to follow later on.
Okay. And much of that, Sheila, is not in place right now, correct?
That is correct. That is,
okay.
Obviously, we need the full team to get us through this conversion, and we have to keep paying their data processing bill and that kind of stuff, and so you'll start seeing some immediate impact of that in the fourth quarter as we get this behind us, and then, as I said, there'll be more next year.
Okay. And then final question just has to do kind of, I guess, with the margin going forward. I mean, excluding the accretion discussion that you had previously, is the new loan yield that you're doing on new business, to what extent is that putting pressure on the margin going forward, or do you have a sense of sort of where that the range will fall out as the next couple quarters come in?
So I'll kind of start and let Tom jump in. Okay. If you look at what's been going on with new loans, the yield really in the CRE book has kind of been what has declined a little bit as old businesses rolled off and new businesses rolled on. I think it we've seen that start to level out a little bit, which is a good thing, and I think you see that in our overall loan yields. We do think there's some room for some continued decline, but not at the pace of previous declines would be my point of view.
Yeah, and I think, as we've talked about in previous quarters, as banks have reentered the CRE space, competition's picked up, and in order to protect those relationships, we feel like we have the transactional and the relationship piece of those companies, we've had to lower our yields on some of those assets. I think it's we're careful about those that we make that decision, but it's just the nature of a perhaps a rebound in institutions and beginning to compete in that space. There for a long time, we didn't have a whole lot of competition, candidly.
Great, Tom. Thank you both very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, via the phone lines, if you would like to register a question or comment, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone keypad. One moment, please. Our next question comes from Tyler Stafford of Stephens. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Tyler.
I wanted to follow up on the expense topic. So the three branches that you closed during the quarter, how much cost saves could we see fall out of the occupancy line item from those closures this quarter?
It's not a lot because these were branches we owned, so they really had pretty low occupancy carry, and I don't have that number off the top of my head, Tyler, but it wasn't a lot.
Okay, and can you run through the math one more time on the 2.4 annualized cost saves in 4Q run rate? Is that in addition to the 2.2 that you called out this quarter from the actions you took in 2Q?
It is.
Okay.
2.4, and it is an annual, that's an annualized rate. We're not going to do the entire 2.4 in 2Q. Okay. But, yeah, that would be an addition.
Okay. And then one last one on expenses. Given the strength you saw in your mortgage group this quarter, can you quantify the amount of mortgage-related variable comp that I guess we could see fall out given slowdowns in mortgage volumes for the back half of the year?
What I can tell you, you know, because I don't know what's going to happen to mortgage volumes in the back half of the year, we still expect there to be some positive pickup as Atlanta improves, as Joe mentioned. But what I will tell you is that the mortgage commission comp increased about half a million, so it was about $500,000. So based on the strong production. So if we didn't have that same level of production and we're back to a normalized level, then that would come out.
Got it. Okay. And then,
as we said earlier, we feel really good about our ability to grow mortgage in Atlanta, having the benefit of the First Bank platform and management team. Think that there is positive growth there ahead of us.
We're already seeing significant growth. I think their production, and the production in Atlanta this year is already as good as it was all of last year.
Okay, great. One last one for me. On the reserve ratio, it took down a few bits this quarter. It's still one of the strongest out there, you know, 1.5% or so. How much more credit leverage is there, and how far could we see that reserve ratio continue to trend lower?
Yeah, Tyler, this is David. I'd be reluctant to provide any forward-looking statement on potential for reserve release. We do compare ourselves relative to peers, and you're correct that we, from an overall allowance percentage, we will be top quartile. But we think that's an appropriate number for where we are today.
Okay, that's it for me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jefferson Harrelson of KBW. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks. I was going to ask a similar question to Tyler's on. So if we paid sort of a concept check for me, I guess, if we paid $5 million for to buy out the FDIC's interest in recoveries, does that mean we should probably see, I don't know, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 million of recoveries come in over the next, I don't know, 2 or 3 years to offset that $5 million payment? Am I thinking about that correctly?
Yeah, I think you are. As a matter of fact, that if we don't do any more than that, we'll be disappointed.
Okay. And so that by itself increases that reserve number. Or ask another way, do you think that gets to the bottom line? Are we going to build the reserve with that? Or that's a decent amount of money right there.
So what's going to happen there is to the extent that we had provided for those loans subsequent to purchase, it would decrease the allowance for loan and lease losses and would flow through the income statement by offsetting current provision expense in that current period. To the extent we had not provided for them and it was a recovery, then you would see that flow into increased accretion income.
Okay. All right, got it.
And we intend to track that and kind of help you keep track of that in future quarters.
Okay. And I might just follow up, so I didn't totally understand the answer to Kevin's first question on what to expect on the accretion. Was the answer there that we take the 104 and just sort of bring it down from the 104, knowing it's going to be lumpy from the pool closeouts, or do you think we're at some sort of new $8 to $10 million level here? I apologize, I didn't quite understand what you had said before.
We think that the $8 to $10 million is kind of it includes absolutely no pool, real significant pool gains. As I said, we just had $34,000,
right,
which is unusual for this quarter. Last quarter was kind of unusually high, maybe, but this quarter is kind of unusually low. The base accretion decline, I said, was only about $1.3 million. So we believe that the $104 million is probably going to come in over 6 to 8 quarters and is not likely to extend significantly.
Okay. And then we get an added, albeit smaller, bonus from possible recoveries as well.
Yeah, if we have recoveries, as we did in the first quarter, then you're going to see it pop up. So we have some upside potential, and I was being whispered to from the side, I should say, that my 6 to 8 quarter reference is a weighted average.
Yes, okay.
Some of it will extend out, and that is a good correction. So I think if you look at that, that's kind of a base level, but I think it would be unusual not to have some upside.
All right. Thanks for repeating that. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time. Mr. Evans, I'll turn the call back over for any closing remarks.
Okay. Well, again, thank you all for being on the call. We are very pleased to be through with loss share. This was a very profitable period of time for the bank. It gave us the ability to put together the franchise that we have, and we made a lot of money off of it, but we are very pleased to be through with that and moving forward with just building this franchise. Like the trends and look forward to continuing this report next quarter. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect all lines. Thank you and have a good day.